Thank you all for attending this initiation ceremony. And here you can feel the special mercy of Lord Krishna coming as Lord Chaitanya, especially to make Krishna consciousness a reality for persons living in a most difficult age, as Swabhas Prabhu, the temple president, was explaining. Spiritual life has its difficulties because the times we are living in are not at all favorable for spiritual development. We're going to need some humility to understand that point. But basically, if we take an objective look at society today, we'll see that it's doing everything to impede our spiritual development. In other words, it's very difficult to live a simple life. It's very difficult to live a stress-free life. It's very difficult to avoid being bombarded with so much material influence through the television, through the radio, through books, through the internet. At all times, your senses are being stimulated by materialistic propaganda, materialistic pushings. And yet, amidst all that, you have some individuals who are vowing that for the rest of their existence, they're not going to engage in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, or gambling. This is quite miraculous. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, once explained that people are attracted to yogis for their mystic powers. And so, often people would inquire of Srila Prabhupada, where's your mystic power? Are you going to produce gold in your hand? Are you going to fly through the air? Are you going to bend a spoon with your mind? Let's see some real yoga. And Prabhupada would reply that my mystic power is that I can take persons who were addicted to sinful activities and they promise me that they'll stop. That is mystic power. How to take someone, let's take a person living in Los Angeles, take that person from their normal life of being embedded in illusion, and then that person promises no more illicit sex, no more intoxication, no more meat eating, no more gambling. Of course, in California, being a vegetarian is nothing unusual. But no intoxication? No herbal supplements? And no expressions of what is conventionally known as love, at least love for a weekend, none of that. These things are very unusual. Why would persons take up such a vow? You'll probably wonder that. Why? Where is the pleasure? Where is the love of life? These days, people are even proud to say, I have a lust for life. You need lust in your life. You need to feel strong desire, strong passion, then you're a successful person. Of course, those from India, they know better than this. And certainly our Indian guests will not subscribe to this kind of ideology. Although, at the same time, when you're living in the USA, naturally you become influenced. Still in the core of their hearts, our Indian guests naturally cannot accept this. But the influence is so strong that they can be affected, and certainly their children will be affected. This is how powerful the current is for thinking you're the body and thinking that pleasing your body will make you happy. How can persons go the other way? They can do it because, as Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, param tisva navartate, when you get the higher spiritual taste, then automatically you can stay away from the lower material taste. When you get the high spiritual taste, then you have no time or inclination for the things that people consider pleasure. It's not that there's no pleasure in Krishna consciousness. In fact, Krishna consciousness is about nothing except pleasure. But in our conditioned state, in our illusion state, we cannot perceive spiritual pleasure. That is the problem. Therefore, we need to adopt the process of purification. So these fortunate persons are signing up for a process of purification. And that is very important, because without purification, there is no pleasure. In other words, this ceremony is a wake-up call for Los Angeles, that if you really think you know about pleasure, then there must be purification in your life. There's no meaning to pleasure without purification. They're taking these vows because they really know what their self-interest is. Their self-interest is not in bad karma. That expression is popular, but no one really knows what causes bad karma. They're going to promise to abstain from the things that cause bad karma, and they'll be able to do that because they're learning the technology of doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. You have to live for someone's pleasure. Therefore, bhakti yoga, the yoga of transcendental love and devotion, means to connect your activities to the person who is actually qualified to receive the pleasure, and then you'll automatically be satisfied because you're linking to the person who actually is qualified to be pleased. Now, of course, there's some anxiety that we may feel. How will I be satisfied by doing everything for Krishna? I mean, all glories to Krishna. He looks wonderful there on the altar. But what about me? What about me and my senses? Me and my life? Yes, it feels nice coming here and offering prayers to Krishna, singing before Krishna, but still, I have an existence. Now, what does Krishna explain in Bhagavad Gita? He says, when you have seen the truth, you'll know that all living beings are in me and they are mine. That means you'll understand that by serving Krishna, glorifying Krishna, you're not neglecting anyone. But in the beginning, that anxiety is there. What about love for our fellow human beings? What about love for our family? What about love for ourselves? Does Krishna consciousness deal with that? Of course, because Krishna contains everything. If you apply your loving propensities to Krishna, then everyone and everything is taken care of. This principle is the basis of Krishna consciousness. We're not forsaking love in Krishna consciousness. We are becoming the love experts. Krishna consciousness is all love, but it's not the kind of love that we understand so readily with our conditioned mentality. We're really hung up on the physical, emotional stuff and thinking that's the height of life. Krishna consciousness recognizes that just as higher than the body is the mind, similarly, higher than the mind is the intelligence, and higher than all those material aspects is the spirit soul. And what does the spirit soul love to do? The spirit soul loves to connect with the supreme soul, Krishna. So they are taking a vow to chant Hare Krishna. Why a vow? Why don't they just chant Hare Krishna when they feel like it? Isn't that good enough for Krishna? Some of you might have thought that. Why should you take vows to chant a minimum amount of Hare Krishna? If it's really a genuine offering of love, you chant when you feel like it. Wouldn't Krishna appreciate that more? That's just like you're walking down the street and you just start thinking about Krishna. Yeah, I think I'll chant a bit. Hare Krishna. And then a few minutes later, you don't feel like chanting, and so that's all right. Krishna consciousness is a medical prescription that you carry out whether you feel like it or not. How many of you would go to a doctor and get a prescription and then only follow it when you felt in the mood, you took your pills? Just like I have my doctor here from New Zealand, Dr. Daniel Taylor, and suppose I told him, he's actually done a lot for me, repairing my health. We are concerned with the body. It's not that we say we're all spirit soul, ignore the body. But we recognize that the body belongs to Krishna, and we keep the body in shape to give Krishna service. So suppose I told him, well, this prescription you gave me, you know, I take it when I really feel like it, you know? And that way the medicine's more effective. On the days when I feel like taking the pills, I do. And I'm sure that's the best way to become cured. He would just look at me like, why are you wasting my time? He doesn't charge me for his medical treatment, although he's a very empowered doctor. Actually, in New Zealand, he's known as the doctor of last resort. When conventional doctors can't cure anybody, they try him. So suppose I just said, well, you know, you don't charge me, and I appreciate that, but I think your medicine is more effective when I decide how much I'll take and when I'm going to take it, and I'll do it when I feel like it. He'll know I will not get well because I have a disease. I have to follow a particular regimen if I want to become cured. So that is what these men and ladies have recognized, that material existence is a disease condition. Now I know that's not quite so popular, right? I think the material life's a disease condition. Everyone should feel good about themselves and feel upbeat about themselves and their opportunities for pleasure and riches and wealth and fame and satisfaction. And here you come to the Haris and they tell you, material existence is a disease. Does that really sit right with you? I know there's something in you that rebels, right? Well, sometimes it's tough, but I've been happy before. There have been some moments in my life when I enjoy it. I know. You can't tell me it's all illusion. I know that's what you're going to say. Well, even when we think that there are moments in our life when we are truly happy, you know it won't last. So these persons who are taking these vows, they're recognizing that we're not just going to settle for fleeting happiness or temporary sensations of pleasure. Those things exist, but we don't call those things substantial happiness. We want more. We want to buy in to happiness that does not fade away. So they're really experts at their self-interest. It's not that they're like denying themselves and they're biting their tongues, trying to control their senses. No, I can't do this. I promise. No this, no that, and especially no that. They're turning blue in the face, you know, and clenching their, you know, their hands. And no, they're engaged in Krishna's service, and therefore the experience they get from serving Krishna far surpasses any of the temporary feelings of happiness that you may experience in material life. So they are experts in their self-interest. They're not turning their backs on their self-interest. They've actually come to grips with what is the self and what is the goal of the self, how the self can be best satisfied. Therefore, you should be very proud of them. They're representing the best of Los Angeles. Some of them have come from abroad to participate in this ceremony, but still you can claim them as your own fellow citizens of the city. More importantly, we are all part and parcel of Krishna, and these part and parcels of Krishna have taken the step to formally declare that their intent in life is to go back home, back to Godhead. And while they're in this world, in the present body, they're going to engage everything in Krishna's service and teach others how to do that. For their engagement in Krishna's service, bhakti yoga, we're very happy that we have this wonderful temple here in Los Angeles. I don't know if you all know all the things that go on here, but basically this Los Angeles Hare Krishna community offers opportunity to fully engage your senses in divine service. And those who take advantage of that opportunity very easily can conquer over the difficulties that are certainly there in life. So on the one hand, we don't deny that there are difficulties in life. On the other hand, there's a way to soar over them. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very pleased that he has a temple here, a community here, in which those who seriously take advantage of the process that he's passing on to us down to the chain of spiritual masters originating with Krishna himself. I'm sure he's very proud that anyone who seriously wants to recuperate and regain their spiritual health in these facilities can do that. So certainly I'm very thankful for that, because don't think that, you know, this is just a one person's job. Like, you know, I'm giving them names, I'm giving them beads, and all glories to me. No, it takes a whole team. And because there's such a wonderful team here at New Dwarka, you have our president, Subhas Prabhu. We owe so much to him for organizing a facility in which sincere souls can fully engage in Krishna's service as Prabhupada wanted. We have the whole management team of New Dwarka, so many wonderful devotees. And they are actually sacrificing. They don't get huge salaries. Some of them don't even get any salary. In fact, if they get a salary, it's just basic living. But their real wealth in life is presenting a facility in which others can be Krishna conscious. So that makes my job easier. Because, I'll tell you my self-interest. They're promising me that they're going to follow the regular principles and chant Hare Krishna. If they break the promise, I get a bit of a reaction. So therefore, naturally, my self-interest is to make sure they're at a temple which will engage in a Krishna service, then I don't get caught with so much stuff. I got my anger in the suit, you know? And if I don't get caught with so much stuff, it means less work for my doctor over there. So in this way, I hope you can see the whole, a little bit of the whole world of Krishna consciousness. It's very exciting. It's very noble. It's the noble thing to do. It's the thing to do with integrity. And I know that others in this audience also have that capacity for nobility and integrity and compassion. So Krishna consciousness, it takes the best out of you. And it gives you the best. Lord Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. And I think, what do we do next? We call up the disciples, and I'll tell you a little bit about them. It's always nice to hear about people in the Krishna community, because you might think, well, what's it like to be one of them? And are they really human beings? And do they eat and sleep? And do they think like me? So I'll tell you briefly a little bit about each of them, and so you can start to visualize that, maybe I could do this. Maybe you think they're all down and outers, people who couldn't make it in life. Or maybe you think they're all super scholars. So many misconceptions people have about who Hare Krishnas are. So I'll explain. You've got everything here covering the whole social spectrum. So it'll be very interesting for you. Okay, we'll start with the oldest in terms of physical age. Master Herman. Please remember to say your pranam mantras out loud. Dr. Herman has been rendering nice service to this community for many years. He came to Krishna consciousness at what age? 56. So what do you have to say about that? Those who think Krishna consciousness is only for young people. He was a family man, a businessman, and he was interested in esoteric things. He hit a point in his life where mysteriously, suddenly, his family failed and his business failed, and his esoteric church he was part of no longer satisfied him. It all happened at once. So, yes, you could say, well, here's an example of someone who did not succeed in the quest for material happiness and then he came to Krishna. But that is intelligence. Indeed, the scriptures explain that Krishna is the property of the materially exhausted, and that if someone is sincere but attached to material life, but should be a devotee of Krishna, Krishna says, I give such a person my special mercy. I take everything away and just give him me. So, that's not a curse, that's a benediction. Shortly thereafter, after these things happened in his life, he came across Srila Prabhupada's books, and then he came to be a member of this community, and he's been doing very nice service for so many years that we're not only giving him first initiation today, but also second initiation. So if there's anyone out there who is in their 50s and 60s, Herman is showing you it can be done. So we're giving everyone a chance in Krishna consciousness to get the mercy of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has created a facility that everyone can serve the real self interest. We'll ask him some questions. What are the four regular principles?
No realistic self, no meat eating, no intoxication, no damage.
And what to do every day?
Chant a minimum of 16 rounds a day.
Alright. Your name is Honey Dave. Dave is a famous deity in Govardhan, in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya, when he would go visit Govardhan, he would first go see the Haridev deity. All right, now we're going to call up another, veteran of several years, many years of wonderful service in New Dorka's kitchen. Bhakta Al.
Jai!
Bhakta Al demonstrates great dedication to Krishna's service. Behind the scenes in the kitchen, all this prasadam that we has to come from somewhere, and to be work in the kitchen day after day, week after week, year after year, takes high realization. Because it can look like it's, it can look like the same thing every day, kitchen, but actually he's seeing Krishna's world in the kitchen. And therefore Krishna has empowered him with the ability to render this very important service, and in this way the New Dorker management is very satisfied with his steadiness, so much so that he's also getting second distinction. Dr. Al has, in his youth in Central America and Nicaragua, he's seen great suffering, all the things you read about in newspapers and see on television, guerrilla warfare, government troops fighting their own people. He's been through it. And he doesn't need much instruction to understand that this world has very, very dangerous and violent tendencies. He's seen the naked face of human suffering, so he has a very deep philosophical understanding of the reality of life. It's not just he's come to Krishna consciousness as a negative reaction to, oh, it's too hellish out there. He's actually seen what material existence is about and made a deep felt decision based on knowledge and understanding, and therefore he can remain steady in his devotional service. So we very much appreciate his dedicated service, and it certainly sets a fine example for anyone who wants to be Krishna conscious, that if you just take up some service and put your heart into it, Krishna can be yours. Prabhupada's mercy can be felt. We need more examples like Bhakti Al, also, of course, Hari Dev. What are the four regular principles?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no eating, no intoxication.
One.
No gambling, no
illicit sex. And what do you always do?
Chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra.
Alright, no more Bhakta Al. Your name is now Mukta Charita. For all you Shastra experts, Mukta Charita is a book by Raghunath Das Goswami in which he talks about Krishna's pastimes with his most confidential devotees involving pearls. Now we'll call up Mukta Charita's wife, Bhakti Veronica. Bhaktivinoda Veronica's family's from Argentina, although she's grown up all her life in Los Angeles, and she came to the temple for the first time, and one of her friends from Argentina said, "Let's go visit the Hare Krishna temple." And she walked in for the first time and saw Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadesh and never recovered from it. And then, with a psychology that is bona fide for a chaste and honorable lady, she began to wonder, well, I want to have a Krishna conscious husband, I want to have a Krishna conscious family life, and how that can be, how can I do that in Krishna consciousness? Many guests, they wonder. I mean, do you guys have families? Actually, most devotees have families. So the exceptions don't, but most do. And so, naturally, you can see yourself in her shoes. Yes, I mean, she's a young, single woman. Ladies, generally, want to marry and have a home. So what was she going to do? How did you guys handle that? Well, she decided she was going to pray to Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadesh. She revealed her secret 2 days ago. She analyze the field in a respectable way, analyze the talent that was available, and she decided that Mukta Charita, he made a first-class Krishna Gandhi husband. Now I'm sure I get so wonderful, what did she do then? And, you know, how does it work after that? You know, no, this is not the material world, so things proceed in an orderly, respectable manner. She discussed it with the authorities in the temple, and then she also went before Shishi Rukmini Gorkhadesh, and she explained that she prayed, I would like that Mukta Charita becomes my husband. So if you think it's a good idea, please arrange this, and if not, okay, I'll accept that. So then I asked her, well, did you leave it at that? She said, no. I also made sure that I was working in the kitchen with her every day. In other words, I guess she was saying, the Lord helps those who help themselves. We can't criticize her for not having good taste. She certainly has the best of taste, and they are an ideal couple in Krishna consciousness. What are the four regular principles?
No meat eating, fish or egg eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
And what's to do every day? Your name is Donna Charita. Donna Charita is the other book by Raghunath Das, in which the pastimes with Krishna's confidence of devotees involving taxes, collecting taxes in Vrindavan, is described in that book. So we have the church family. Okay. All right. Bhakti Joseph, please. Bhakti Joseph was born in the USA, but he's serving in Vancouver, and he very sincerely does sankirtan distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. He travels, and also he works at the temple in Vancouver, taking care of new devotees, and he alternates traveling and back and traveling and back. And devotees from Vancouver have always told me how impressed they are by his sincerity and humility, and we hope those qualities will always stay with him. And he's an example of someone, at this point in his life, he feels that he wants to remain single all his life. So we give persons like that facility. You see, whatever you do in Krishna consciousness, you should be qualified. If you want to remain single all your life, be qualified to do that. If you want to marry, be qualified to have a family. Nothing whimsical. So Bhakta Joseph has indicated he likes traveling and doing missionary work and being based at a temple also sometimes and doing missionary work. And this way he wants to dedicate his life. So we support persons in their various decisions. There's room in Krishna consciousness for all kinds of varieties and approach to lifestyle. And we're very happy that He likes to do humble service, and he's dedicated to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, even though right now he's not what you might call a big distributor, but his heart is into it, and where the heart is, sooner or later, Krishna's mercy will manifest in terms of external results. The most important result is the change in the heart. So, Joseph, what are the four regular reasons?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no eating.
What do always do?
Chant the number 16 rounds daily.
All right. Your name is Jugalan Kishore. Jugala Kishore is Bengali. In Sanskrit, it would be Jugala Kishore. Both are bona fide in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Bengali name or Sanskrit name. And it means the youthful divine couple. Jugala Kishore Das, servant of the youthful divine couple. Dr. Roberto. A funny story.
Hello. Hi, Upadaya Krishna. Just came here to live from Mati Govani to Swam Nishanamani. Namaste, Saraswati Deva, Golavani to Chadame, Neva Shesha, Shunyabadi, Kashyap Chadesha Chadame.
Bhakta Roberto. He came to Krishna consciousness at our, how would you call it? Our special evening center, one of them that we have in New Zealand. He was actually, what, 16 when you first?
Yeah.
16. He actually, the teachers at his school told him, don't bother coming because they just couldn't handle him. He's actually, materially, even from the material point of view, intelligent, but he just didn't take to the traditional kind of education that, in terms of what a conventional school considers important. Now, it's a very interesting story in his coming to Krishna consciousness at such a young age. His main activity before coming was for 8 years, from the age of like 8 to 16, he played video games for at least 4 hours a day. And so he can tell any kid what that does to your brain.
Not good.
Now, he had a particularly favorite game, and he didn't know why it was his favorite game. This, you see, in Scotland, a temple there has publicized the name of Lord Chaitanya Gauranga very much. And they've made like a fad about it. So even ordinary people just walk around the street saying Gauranga to each other, don't even know what it means. So there are many people in New Zealand of Scottish descent. So some other, there was a video game that was popular in New Zealand, and it had a sadistic bent to it, which I'm sorry to say, but the story has a happy ending. In this sadistic video game, whenever you're driving a car, and whenever you run over some Hare Krishnas, the screen lights up, Gauranga, Gauranga. They have so many obnoxious, horrible video games like Grand Larceny, and where you can actually absorb yourself in real life horrible activities. So in this particular video game, it's how quickly can you run over the Hare Krishnas and make the screen light up and everything explode, Gauranga. So that was his favorite video game. And whenever he with his car run over the devotees, the screen would, you know, explode Gauranga, and he would, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And he never knew why he was so attracted to that. Then he came to the preaching center, and devotees were having kirtan, and, you know, singing Hare Krishna, And then all of a sudden the devotees started chanting, Nitai Gauranga. Here it is! I found it! Gauranga! He knew he had found his home. He had found Gauranga. And then he understood why he was so attracted to that video game. And he's been here in Los Angeles for a couple of years, and it's done wonders for him. It's very entertaining and educational for the older devotees here to watch him grow up in Krishna consciousness. They've had to develop patience and tolerance. Watching at times what could be what was a pesky kid got a, growing up a bit. But now they're seeing the results of growing up in Krishna consciousness. It's a very wonderful thing. And we're sure he has a great future in Krishna consciousness. He's starting to understand that even though he does what you might consider menial service, it's like Mukta Charita runs the kitchen, but you might say he's just a helper. But he's starting to understand that just that helping service alone can bring him the height of transcendental realization. And that's a very amazing thing for a 19-year-old young lad to understand. He's developing all virtues and all spiritual intelligence just by helping in Krishna's kitchen. Now, what do you think of that? What are the four regular principles?
No illicit sex, no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication.
And what do you do?
Chant 16 rounds every day.
All right. No more river. Your name is Ryan Bhattadas. Is the fifth Manu in the day of Brahma. There are 14 Manus in the day of Brahma, and Revata is number 5.
Yeah.
Bhakta Satya. Bhakta Satya is from South India, and then he moved to New Zealand, and he was the recipient of some extraordinary mercy. We have a center in one city, New Zealand, called Gora Yoga Center, in which we present Krishna consciousness to people who think they're too cool to go to a temple. And we show that we're more cool. So, one day, the cook at this Gora Yoga Center decided it's Radhashtami. And even though I'm not a book distributor, I'm going to sell 7 full sets of Prabhupada's books today. By Srimati Radharani's mercy, I'm going to try to do it. And although he's not a specialized book distributor, he had this amazing desire. And by 11:30 at night, he had sold he had sold 6 sets. And he was just shocked. And he was like, inconceivable for him to do this. But still, he had one more to go if he's going to really fulfill his vow, which was amazing up to this point. So it was 11:30 at night. He's like, I got to find someone to present a set of Prabhupada's books to. I've got 30 minutes before midnight. So he decided, I know, I have a contact who works at Burger King. Yes, it's, well, you know, he's coming from India, but when you get to the West, you know, you can lose all your good qualities. His mother didn't like it, but he was working at Burger King. So this devotee, whose name is now Mahavan, he marched into the Burger King with his carrying a full set of Prabhupada's books, and he told them, I want Satya, where is he? And they say, oh, he's back in the kitchen. Bring him out, bring him out. So Satya comes out, and the devotee presents him the full set. And just a few minutes before midnight, Satya buys set number 7 from the devotee. But then, after he got the set, he started thinking, this must be the greatest happiness to distribute full sets of Prabhupada's books. So he started doing it. And then he started thinking, what, selling sets is one thing, but maybe if I even go out on the streets and distribute books to people, that'll be even another way of tasting Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So he started doing that. And then, about a year ago, he started pestering me. I've heard about those book distributors in Los Angeles. Can I go? I want to be one of them. Who is this Brigalmati? I want to be with him. I kept trying to slow him down. Just take it easy now. Just... Every month he's like, he was bugging me. I want to go. I want to go. I want you to distribute Prabhupada's books. So, Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, he can spend time here at New York and take advantage of the wonderful missionary spirit here. In which devotees are selflessly sacrificing to give the highest knowledge to others. Believe me, all those devotees who do that, who go out onto the streets, the airports, the universities, distributing Prabhupada's books, they certainly have better things to do from the material point of view. They don't have to do that. It's out of compassion. So, we're very happy that he can be a part of such a team. First of all, we're happy that such a team exists here. And his mother will be visiting here when?
First week in June.
She's a wonderful cook. What are the four regular principles?
No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling.
What to do?
Chant at least 16 rounds every day.
Okay. Your name is Shastra Krit. Shastrakrit means the compiler of the Shastras. So he's serving the compiler of the Shastras. All right, Bhaktin Rhiannon. So here we have yet another variety taking to Krishna consciousness. I met Bhaktin Rhiannon how many years ago? 3 years ago. She's from Wales. That's a part of the UK, but they speak a language there that doesn't sound anything like English. It's hard for Americans to believe that in England, in the UK, there are persons who speak a tongue like you've never, a language like you've never heard before. So, anyway, she's from Wales, and she was visiting down under, New Zealand, and she got a Bhagavad Gita at a restaurant, a Krishna conscious restaurant in Australia, and she was reading it. And then I met her in Christchurch, at South Island of New Zealand. She was the only guest at a preaching program. The only guest. Now, usually when I do my preaching programs in a special lounge-like atmosphere, couches and ambience, you know, I don't like it to be packed with devotees, because you can imagine if there's like, you know, 10 guests and then a room full of 20 devotees, guests kind of feel, you know, everyone's looking at them, and sometimes the devotees are eager to correct you, and do you know the ninth avatar? And sometimes devotees like to show off their knowledge, and so it makes it a little uncomfortable sometimes when you have like a room full of devotees and just a few guests, and the devotees are all looking at the guests like, we're going to evangelize you, and we're going to talk to you. So usually I put a limit, you know, no more than 3 devotees, so the guests can feel like it's their place, and they can let their hair down and, you know, express their doubts and their reservations. But she was the only guest, so I said, why not let the room fill up with devotees? And so there she was, you know, this little girl looking like someone out of a Walt Disney movie, very tiny, but, you know, big eyes and, you know, big brain. So I asked her, what does she do? She explained she had just finished getting her master's degree in astrophysics, and she's now working on her PhD. So I just said, astrophysics? Those guys don't know anything. And I actually gave her a scientific reason why to show that they didn't know anything. And then she astonished me in round one of the, you know, of the match. I said, they don't know anything. She said, that's true, they don't know anything. A scientist who says the scientists don't know anything? So then we began to discuss more deeply, and I asked her what she was doing with her life, and I began to explain to her very strongly that she's wasting her life, she's wasting her time, and that she must use her intelligence for the highest purpose. And I was talking in ways that even I was surprised, that I was really laying it on heavy. What are you doing with yourself? Why don't you use your brain in the right way? Why don't you benefit humanity by preaching Krishna conscious science? This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. I was practically roaring. Some of the devotees were looking at me like, oh my God, yeah. You crying out again? So I said, don't mind me saying this, she doesn't mind, I know, but, you know, normal habits in material life are drinking and intoxication and that. So I just asked her, tomorrow's Friday night, what are you going to be doing? Are you going to come here? She said, no, I'll be going out. And so, going out, what does that mean? Well, you know, I'll be going out, you know, find some place to go drinking. I said, you came all the way from Wales on the top of the world, down under, to the last stop before the South Pole, just to go out drinking? I said, don't you want something else in your life? I said, ask any of these ladies here. Ask them. Ask any of these lady devotees. Do they go out drinking on Friday night? And she actually, in a very humble, innocent way, turned to each devotee lady, and in a scientific investigation type, you know, attitude, do you go out drinking on Friday night? And each devotee lady would kind of, no. And then she would turn to the next lady, do you go out drinking on Friday night? No. And then I proceeded to talk like that. I told her she must become Krishna conscious immediately. Actually, she still has the tape of this. I should hear it. She's kept the tape. So after about an hour and a half of this, hour and a half of me, things ended. And that was the last I heard of it, I thought. Then 3 months later, I got this letter from England. Do you remember that I was the one who you talked to that night three months ago? When that night ended, you were the last person in the world I ever wanted to see again. But when the next morning came, I began to think, maybe you were right. And the next day, she began to chant Hare Krishna. She wrote the letter, now, after 3 months, I'm chanting at least 16 rounds a day. You told me to dedicate my life to doing scientific preaching for Srila Prabhupada. I want to do that. You've saved me. So now she's almost finished her PhD, but she amazes everybody by loving to fly all the way from the UK to Los Angeles just to go on Sankirtan. In other words, our book distributors include even persons who are PhD candidates. They get enlivened by taking Srila Prabhupada's books and going out and introducing them to people. So you just don't know who you're meeting out there, who's making that sacrifice. Flying all the way, 12 hours from London, here, just to delight in the Sankirtan mission. So this is very wonderful, and certainly the New Dwarka management appreciates that missionary spirit, And she's also working with Judith Karma Prabhu on scientific preaching. So she's got a full life. She's determined to have everything in Krishna consciousness. She's not going to be locked into any stereotype category. She's going to do scientific preaching. She's going to do book distribution. She goes to the morning program. She wants it all. So we admire such a laudable, avaricious spirit in Krishna consciousness. What are the four regular principles? And what does he do every day? Alright. Your name is Charnarindu. Charnarindu means dust of the lotus feet. Prabhupada wanted scientific preaching very much in that he wanted the paradigms of the materialists to be challenged. So we hope she gets the dust of Prabhupada's lotus feet by doing that. Okay, Huya. Bhaktin Huya came, was introduced to Krishna consciousness at what age? 16. And she knows that material life can be very tough. She's an example of someone who's made it through obstacles in life that are actually quite common these days. Let's face it, material life today is very difficult and people can be very obnoxious. Her parents happen to be like one of the biggest drug dealers in New Zealand. And when she took to Krishna consciousness, they practically disowned her. Yet she stuck to Krishna consciousness and did not give up the path, and after great ordeals, she came to Los Angeles and very intelligently took shelter of Subhas Prabhu and his wife Tadeek, and ever since that time she's been so steady working in the gift shop through thick and thin. And so now, how old are you? 20. She's not a teenager anymore. Now at 20, she's very nicely situated in Krishna's service, showing that the power of Krishna consciousness can solve all social problems. How do we solve the problem of intoxication? Easy. Her parents didn't like it, but we just said, Huya, no more intoxication. Problem solved. Would her parents appreciate? No, get out. So this is what we have to deal with in our outreach work. So we can handle PhD candidates, and we can also handle this. Everyone gets an equal chance to get Krishna's mercy. And Huya definitely demonstrates how to take advantage of the mercy, how to take shelter of the senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavi, and in this way perform significant service for Srila Prabhupada's mission. And I'm very happy that these devotees are not just believing in Krishna or taking their beads and heading way out there to who knows where. They're actually all engaged in rendering service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. So that makes me very thankful. And once again, I'm thankful they have a facility here for doing that. So, what are the four regular principles? What to do? All right. Your name is Kiran Yongi. Kiran Yongi is a name for Srimati Radharani, Golden Limbs. Madhuri. Bhakti Madhuri, she has a Sanskrit name because her parents were Anandamayis, so they gave her that name at birth, Madhuri. Madhuri, I met when you were how old?
20.
She came to our Gaura Yoga Center in New Zealand. And she's born in New Zealand, but she's an Australian citizen. It's like America and Canada. Still, there's a difference. So, she came with the husband of her girlfriend, and the girlfriend was in London, and so she and the girlfriend's husband came, and they sat down, and they're taking prasad, and I sat down to talk to them, and so I just assumed they were a couple. But then upon talking to them, I found out that he's the husband of her girlfriend, and she's a single lady, but then I kind of took one look at the guy, and I could see what the program was. And I took one look at her, and I could see she didn't know what the program was. So, I like to live dangerously sometimes, so right with the guy there, I wasn't actually thinking so much what I was doing. I just began to say, you know, there's so many men in this world who will do anything to corrupt a young woman. And all they do is pretend that they want to be friends, all they do is pretend that they're not interested in that, but that's simply their complete agenda. And rarely is there a woman in this world who wants to be pure and chaste. And I know how difficult it is when you desire to be pure and chaste and the world is corrupt. Sometimes you wonder, who am I trying to fool? Am I trying to be a saint? Maybe I should just give in and be corrupt like everybody. Why should I go on like this? I know this feeling in which you think it's hopeless and maybe there is some enjoyment you're missing out on. And then you have these guys who are just lusting after you, who just care for their own sense gratification, and they're just disguised like wolves. And meanwhile, I was looking at him, I think the guy was like, "You are ruining my name." He was like, "You know, who is this Swami? I'm going to smash this guy. He's breaking up my scam." And I looked at her, and she's like,
"What's going on?
Maybe what he's saying is true." So I just went on and on and on like that. I ended up by saying, "Your only hope," I told her, "is you must become Krishna conscious. That's the only way you can maintain your purity. Otherwise, there's no hope in this world." So by that time, the guy practically was about to jump out of his seat and clobber me. He was so angry. And then she just made a quick calculation and decided on the spot she wanted to be Krishna conscious. So ever since then, she's been chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So you can see that Lord Chaitanya's mercy can happen. It's not a mythological thing. If you try to assist Prabhupada in his mission, you'll see amazing things happen right before your eyes. So we're very happy that Madhuri is now situated in Los Angeles. She came to Los Angeles to find her fortune, and she found steady devotional service at Rukmini Dwarkadisha's lotus feet in the Transcendental Gift Shop, working with Mother Tadit, and she's profiting so much by taking guidance from Savas and Tadit. I only wish that I can send all the chaste girls with integrity to Savas and Tadit, because they bring out the best in such persons. So we're very happy by her service. She studied fashion design in her technical school and always wanted to do something with that knowledge, so Krishna gave her a golden opportunity dealing with fashions in the gift shop. So you can see how all your talents can be engaged easily in Krishna's service. You have a scientist who's doing scientific preaching. You have a fashion designer. It's like Savas Guru's wife, Janine, also, I think, fashion design. Yes. You see? It can be done. You can be happy in Krishna's service. What are the four regular principles?
No meditation, no illicit food, no intoxication, and again.
What to always do?
Chant my name.
All right. Your name is Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi is the chief goddess of fortune. Also, whoever marries her doesn't need Mahalakshmi. So, written up, that's the last one, yeah?
My name is Raghavan Manager.
No, just Raghavan.